Sir, would you please take your seat? I have a few standard questions I'd like to ask you. I'm going to ask these same standard questions of every witness, were they brought by the city or by the Church of Scientology. Sir, the first question is, are you appearing here today and testifying under oath voluntarily?
Yes.
Two, have you been paid by anyone for your testimony other than expenses for coming to Clearwater?
No.
Three, do you have a lawsuit against the Church of Scientology?
Personally, no.
Does the Church of Scientology have a lawsuit against you?
Yes.
And number five, has anyone suggested to you that you should state anything but the truth, or has anyone suggested that you change your testimony for any reason?
No.
Okay, sir, would you like to? I believe you have a timeline to follow, and would you like this?
The practice, Mayor, will be the witness will seek to deliver a soliloquy or a statement that he feels are pertinent to the matter that is concerned previously outlined, and then the commission will undertake.
Thank you, Mr. Walters. Would you like to proceed, sir?
I think it would be best probably for me to tell you how I started Scientology and my history and record and experience. So that you have some, I don't know where I'm coming from. Otherwise, I'm sure some of the things I tell you just won't be believed. Excuse my nervousness.
We're all a little tense there, Sue.
It's not easy to talk about it. And you'll see why I'm going to tell you. Okay. Around 1970 in Las Vegas, Nevada, I was an executive of the Sands Hotel. Through an individual who I had known a few years earlier in Las Vegas, Frank Friedman, who is here at Clearwater. But at that time, he was in Las Vegas. Scientology told me, you know, it was founded by this famous man who was a great man and a nuclear physicist and discovered the secrets of life, happiness, and that Frank, knowing, I would think, knowing that I was interested in my life, questioning the world around us, asked me to come down to a mission that he had. The mission is a small Scientology organization. It's the lowest on the chain of command. He gave me some auditing. Auditing is a process where you sit in front of a Scientologist who uses a meter called an e-meter, and you are told that this e-meter can detect whatever's wrong with you, what the reasons why it's wrong with you, and you find a thing called engrams, which, as Hubbard said, is the sole source of all sickness and aberration. And I did that for a few weeks. I'd have to admit that the first introduction to Scientology was very nice. It usually is for most people. Later that mission closed, and they went to Flag resides on at the highest point of the Scientology organization's flag. The flag is now here in your city of Clearwater. I was then transferred to the Las Vegas organization on Industrial Road in Las Vegas, where I suggested I continue studies. I was myself interested in technology. I had been, you know, very impressed with Harvard's degree. And if he was a sick man or made himself well, and he had found a way of doing this for everyone, I at the time had a back trouble, stomach trouble, which I was going to Santa Barbara for Santa Barbara Clinic in California. That came up in auditing. So. Anyway, the organization in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Org, which is the next step up the chain of command, you have a mission within the Las Vegas organization, an organization called the Org. At the Las Vegas Org, I started the Dianetic course. Dianetics was introduced to me as the first book that L. Ron Hubbard read, wrote, we were told to read it. And this told us, convinced us that this was the could eradicate all illness, found the sole source of operation, make you well and happy, high IQ, and total recall, and free meaning, et cetera, et cetera. While at the Las Vegas Org, in the first few months, my course room was on the second floor. I was asked to go down in the back of the building, in an office back there called to meet some people in the guardian office. The guardian office was explained to me. As far as I'll tell you, the direct power is heard. I went down there and met,
yes, you may. Will you put the mic a little bit closer to you? I'm just afraid someone's going to back me in the building here.
And that's been Susan Reed. I don't know what her name is now, but Susan Reed.
Sir, if at some time during your conversation you'd like to take a break, we can do it. If you were getting a little worn out, I know you're going to be here doing a monologue for quite a bit of time. So if you need a break, let us know.
No. Well, I don't feel fine with most people I know. We were waiting a long time to get here.
Okay, I can proceed.
You just have to protect me when I leave the building.
Literally finishes his statement, then we'll ask some questions.
So I met Susan Reed, who was the assistant guide called AG, Maddie Reese, who was AG PRO, the assistant guardian, public relations officer. You hear names like officer all the time. I later found out it's a very Navy-orientated thing. And Chuck Reese, who was the intel officer for intelligence, later changed to call information. They invited me in and asked me how I was doing, and said they had heard something about me to this day. I don't know from who, but said I was a sharp guy, and that to hear you're doing well, interested in going clear, which is one of the early things that you're sold on, is to go clear with the free of all the
operation in Ingram that I mentioned earlier. And as a clear, you would be, you know, have a genius IQ and total recall, free of illness, et cetera, et cetera. And I was very much interested in doing that. So they invited me, actually, many times, two or three times a week, for a 3-4 week period. And generally what occurred was telling me the importance of the Guardian's Office, that it was an organization set up by L. Ron Hubbard to protect the Church of Scientology against the enemies that are out there. Enemies, 1970, early 71, were psychiatrists, doctors, government officials, mental health organizations, those ones explained to me in the meetings. It was explained to me how important it was that Scientology was to clear the planet, meaning make everyone clear in the city of Las Vegas and throughout the world, that these enemies had to be stopped, that these enemies were actually suppressive people, suppressive meaning, that they were out to destroy the Church of Scientology. These suppressors were people who were actually criminals themselves, and Ron knows this, and they're actually anti-religion, and they're anti-spiritual, and they're connected with the doctors and psychiatrists, etc. Anyway, so it was close to me from the viewpoint, you know, we have to fight this war, steady, and then for us to do the job we have to do, and for you to go clear, Eddie, we would need your help. So I, at the time, I'm embarrassed to say, I said, fine. I had grown up. I was not, as a normal citizen is, not the most infatuated with public officials, and didn't really know much about them. So whatever they told me was believable. Anyway, the short time after that, I was invited down to the office, and a fellow was standing there called Bruce Raymond. Bruce Raymond, Susan Reed, Maddie Reed, told me to go for a walk with Bruce Raymond. I did. Bruce Raymond told me that he was well, first he started just talking to me, and again, they were constantly always telling you, you know, are you going clear, and how important it was to defeat the enemies. The whole routine I've been sitting for weeks, and I said, yes, I'm going to hell, I want to clear the planet, I'll do whatever we can do. He told me that he was a special, like, agent for L. Ron Hubbard, Mary Sue Hubbard, and that he works for the Guardian's Office, and that he works on the most sensitive and secret operations. You'll hear that word a lot, construct for us. In fact, throughout Scientology terminology, it's like the Navy, they cut everything into short term. He said that he stressed on Navy importance, that serious things must be done to stop these enemies, and that these are vicious people.
You don't have an ice machine over here.
And that, by the time, you know, whatever way I can help, I will. So he was bragging to me about, again, the technology of L. Ron Hubbard, and that L. Ron Hubbard had this mental technology, that being the genius he was, he had developed the technology of espionage, intelligence, ferreting out the enemy, and so I said, you know, fine, this is what it takes to go clear, you know, if they're going to stop L. Ron Hubbard helping all of us, I'll do what I can. He told me that, I asked him about the technology because I was interested. I was very technically orientated, as it was then, and still am. he told me about the Guardian Walks technology, such as, I'm sure you've heard, you know, people are sort of aware and try to cause trouble for Scientology. And I said, yeah, I've heard that. What we do is we, you know, investigate them, and we, and briefly, I can tell you, I get every course offered in Scientology on the training side, meaning the side that teaches you the technology of the Scientology. I did communication course, dynamic course, the minister's course, which I know, you know, it's easy to say now, but I remember at the time, I did the minister's course. And I can remember talking to the GO people, you know, why are we doing the minister's courses? They tell me this. Well, government, since we're not religions, or we'll make you and another person die, or we'll make you a minister. They want you to use a collar, a white collar, a black thing. I asked why. Well, that's what the public, they call it wild. Few people are wild. That's what the wild. I think a minister looks like for a long time, very probably. Never let somebody go out there. He looks like a station there. They want ministers to show them what a minister looks like. I can tell you, 9 years, I was that minister swing 3 times. And it's very interesting to know that 3 times. The first time I wore it, they called me up to wear it. Very important. Robin's office. When they wear it, because the district attorney's office is shutting down. I didn't know what was wrong. They gave me every point. So they were checking from the tax city licenses. What are them showing? After that, explained to me that to make us look like a religion, we had to have services. Ron has discovered just what the government really wants, which is, services and parishioners or something like that. And so, they would start giving, this is in 72, I think, 73, they would start giving Sunday lectures, and they would call that the services, and they wanted me to give a lecture, and whatever, and they were going to type the news media down there, which I did. Anyway, in my career in Scientology at Las Vegas, I did the Dianetic course, became a Dianetic auditor, did the Dianetic CS course, did above that is the auditing grades, which are given to the public who come in. I became a Class 1 auditor and a Class 2 auditor. Three, I'm a Class 4 auditor. I went to Los Angeles in my quest for more technology. I became a Class 5 and a Class 6 auditor. Class 6 auditor, I was at ASHO, American Saint Joe Organization, Los Angeles, where you study from 8:30 in the morning to 11 at night. You listen to tape recordings. And studied L.R. Hubbard's bulletins all day long. We had a break at 12 and again at 6. And a Class 6 auditor was one who was totally an expert in all of the technology of Scientology. I completed that course. I was down there a year and a half, I think. I completed that course. I did the expanded Dianetic course and the clearing course. The clearing course, as I told you earlier, is the thing that where people go clear. After the clearing course, I was back in Las Vegas. After a year and a half, I was back in Las Vegas. Things were still the same. I had not seen the progress that I hoped I'd see. I thought I would see more auditors. I was hoping Las Vegas and the Guardian's office were, at this time, at least getting along with the city. and I thought it would be a nice, you know, be easy to audit, become friends, and you all things that you're told that will happen. But see, one of the mysteries that confronts you as you go along this is that you have what is preached by Scientology, and then what you have is what is practiced, which is almost a dichotomy. And it's hard to explain to you unless you're in. But I mean, it's a hard analogy to give you. But I'll never forget seeing the TV program on Reverend Jones and Guyana, etc. If you'd listen only to Reverend Jones' lectures, they weren't half bad. But I wish some of the people in Guyana spoke up on what was really going on there. And that's the same thing with Hubbard. The lectures aren't that half bad. Some of the technology isn't that bad. It's what it's used for, but I can get into that later. Anyway, Las Vegas is just as I thought, puzzling to me as ever, still involved in covert activities against officials. I was hearing the first mutterings of now they were going to attack and destroy the federal government. Jeez, I heard in Los Angeles about now the new enemy was Interpol, 73. It was Interpol. Ron had discovered Interpol was the major suppressive. Now I get back to Las Vegas, and now they're into the FBI and the government, the IRS. And I hear mutterings that they're going to do something, and in Scientology, the Guardian's office do something, mean infiltrate, breaking and entering, get whatever evidence they need, or find whatever evidence. I mean, it's a full-fledged operation, which I can talk about later if you're interested in. Anyway, God, it was just so untechnical to me. And I was wondering how I, as this highly trained so-called auditor, could clear people and bring peace to the world if there's this part of the church that's going psychotic. And at that time, I just thought it was class 6 and around 75, 76. The only highest level attainable program was a class 8, who was promoted as the highest technical expert that does, totally can solve all cases. He was the ultimate surgeon, you might say, in another hospital. He was. So I went down to do that course. Figuring I would find maybe the final answers to the technology and the insanity that I was starting to question in Scientology that I saw from the world. The class A course turned out to be a disciplinary psychotic adventure, more geared to make you into a Gestapo. Was to make you into a decent human being. That explained to me why, when I did the class A course, and that was the highest you could go, and I found no goodness or compassion or caring, but I saw the actual teaching and the hysterics of Hubbard. That explained to me that. Why in Las Vegas, a class A of this around the country, could take the most intimate confessions of individuals that were given in this counseling and this auditing and use it against them? I never agreed with it. I saw it. I was involved in it. And when I got to the top and down, I said that not only is not, it's not just Las Vegas has got into a bad thing, that is the actual policy and practices of the Guardian's office and the church, so-called church, where I'm living anyway, was would soon be over for me. I went back to Las Vegas as a Class 8. I audited in the field at my home for a while. I tried to stay away from Las Vegas oil, and it wasn't easy because at that time the public was becoming aware, or at least the FBI had broken into the, raided the church, and now the public was being aware that there were burglaries and infiltrations into the federal government. I knew this to be true. And yet, the Las Vegas oil and Hubbard and the guy whose offices in Los Angeles, Clearwater, Bobby Marin, and others like him, telling Scientologists that this was all false, this was lies, this was further proof, how suppressive. I know it may sound silly to you, it would even sound silly to me thinking it, but at the time, I thought we would be proud of this, like as if we had broken in or exposed the FBI and exposed the government. Now I got in the office saying that they had nothing to do with it and these people were innocent, and telling those Scientologists that this was more lies and that you better get more auditing and spend more money to protect yourself from these evil people. And I'm thinking, God, could it be that all these years I've known of and participated in things like this, and now even lying about that? I mean, it was, and so I tended to stay away from them. They knew I was discontent with them. Anyway, then some people, Hubbard by this time was in hiding. He was, of course, always told that he was in Clearwater and getting along with you fine people, and across the country we were told, you know, to come to Clearwater and spend your money here. And some people in Las Vegas, a friend of mine called me up and said he had a couple in Las Vegas who had just left L. Ron Hubbard, and I'd better talk to him because I was a Class 8 and a senior tech person in that whole area. I talked to these two people. They told me that they had in short time, on a short time, we're at this secret base in the desert where L. Ron Hubbard was hiding out. They were told to have fake names and whole covert operation, which of course, you know what I mean, wasn't familiar with. It just stunned me. It was just further proof, as I was starting to see all along, that the insanities and the criminal actions were coming directly from Hubbard and his paranoia. I brought these people, when they came to me that day, to the Guardian's office. I guess at the time I was just being a good, you know, brainwashed Scientologist. You bring anybody who says anything wrong to the Guardian's office. And it was very interesting to watch the Guardian's office go berserk. And then I was thinking that probably 50% or 90% of what these people were saying were true. And then with the lies of the criminal actions that they were occurring, anyway, I threatened to go to the authorities to do something about it. They expelled me the next day. Bobby Marin, one of the top church officials, was been down in Clearwater many times, came and threatened me with the usual, I will be handled, and any trouble I cause L. Ron Hubbard, I will be taken care of. Others have done it in the past, and they're not around, and Eddie, you will be taken care of. He would go from, we had a 3-hour walk, he would go from threats to my life. And when I would get mad and say, great, let's go down to the police station right now, God damn it. Oh, excuse my language. I would say, let's go down to the police station. Because I was hot and scared. Then he would back up and start begging. And it was funny, he'd start telling me that if he doesn't handle me, that he'll be on the RPS and he'll be in trouble. And now he's begging, and then I'm telling him, well, Artie, if it's so nuts, why don't you tell the truth? And this thing's insane. And then when you do that, he would switch again to being tough and tell me that stuff, that, as you know, Eddie, stuff in pre-clear folders. Pre-clear meaning a person's not clear. Your folders are the most sensitive and intimate things that you have told your so-called minister, who most of them are not even ministers, they're young kids, who took a week's course. He told me, Eddie, we will, you know we've done it before, and we will expose you, and you know. Anyway, he went through the typical threats and actions that he knew that I knew of that the Guardian Dogs participated through the years, which I can go into later if you're interested. Anyway, it was a make break point in me in my life. I either had to stay in Scientology, because if you're in, you're either in, and you do these covert operations or whatever you want, you're a true believer or you are the enemy. So I went to the FBI, me and about six or seven others. And then, anyway, then I've been in Las Vegas still the last 2 years under tremendous threats and harassment. Speaking up, they sued me. They threatened to sue me. They'll sue me for talking to you here today. I'll get sued in Las Vegas. That's part of some grand conspiracy. They'll have me linked up with you people. I've never seen any of you before, but that's what it'll be. Anyway, so as far as my training side is the highest you can go. Processing, I went clear to OT4. Well, I'm familiar with all of the church's highly technical information and entirely familiar with the church's organization and operation.
1 minute is there.
Yeah, very interesting. Should I go over some things that I found to be not nice conduct?
The consultant feels they are pertinent to
corporate
policies in general or Clearwater in particular, I believe we would like to hear from
you.
We would like to hear from you or anything you'd like to add.
Mr. Mayor, yes, a real important question directed to the council. Has he been given any immunity or has he been read his rights, Miranda rights, or anything like that, so that anything he says here can be used against him later?
Yes, Mr. Gillette, it is involved. Immunity, no, but there have been discussions with public officials, both within Dallas County and other places, including Mr. Walter, and those issues have been addressed.
In other words, criminal acts that he will speak of, that he participated in, he will not be.
Let's hear from Mr. Walters now. We can question Mr. Walters later on, but I'd like to have you finish your remarks, sir. As to business activities of the church relating to Clearwater and the country, Clearwater in particular.